The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Third Canto, Chapter Number 23, Text Number 23, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on July 11th, 2016, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nimajja Asmin Hrade Bhiru Vimanam Idam Aruha Idam Shukla Kritam Tirtam Ashisham Yapakam Nrenam Nemadjasmin Hrade Bhiru Vimanam Idararuha Idam Shukla Kritam Tirtam Ashisham Yapakam Rinam Nemadjasmin Hrade Bhiru Vimanam Idamaruha Idam Shukla Kritam Tirtam Ashisham Yapakam Nridam Nimajja. After bathing, Asmin, in this, Hrade, in the lake, Bhiru, O fearful one, Vimanam, airplane. Idam, this, Aruha, ascend. Idam, this, Shukla Kritam, created by Lord Vishnu. Tirtam, sacred lake. Ashisham, the desires. Yapakam, bestowing. Nrenam, of human beings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Devahuti, you look very much afraid. First bathe in Lake Bindu Sarovara, created by Lord Vishnu himself, which can grant all the desires of a human being, and then mount this airplane. Purport. It is still the system to go to the places of pilgrimage and take a bath in the water there. In Vrindavan, the people take baths in the river Jamuna. In other places such as Prayag, they take baths in the river Ganges. The words Tirtam Ashisham Yapakam refer to the fulfillment of desires by bathing in a place of pilgrimage. Kardama Muni advised his good wife to bathe in Lake Bindu Sarovara so that she could revive the former beauty and luster of her body. So, if bathing in Lake Bindu Sarovara fulfills all desires, then what about bathing in the lake of Krishna consciousness? Does that fulfill all desires? Well, it depends on what kind of desires you have. If you have material desires, then Krishna consciousness is not really the place. Of course, it's also stated, akamo sarvakamo va moksha kamo udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether you have all material desires, or whether you desire to merge into the Brahma Jyoti, or whether you desire pure devotional service, and should come to Krishna. So even if they have material desires, we say, yes, you go to Krishna. We see examples. Dhruva Maharaj, he had material desire. He wanted to worship, he wanted to have a kingdom greater than his father's. And he went to the forest to find out Lord Vishnu. And he ended up actually getting greater than his father's kingdom. He got his own planet. A mortal planet within the material world. He got his own planet. There's another example as well. There was one thief. He heard some Bhagavatam class going on, how Krishna is loaded with valuable jewels with no parental supervision. So he thought, oh, this is very nice. Oh, where is he? Oh, he is in the forest of Vrindavan. Oh, I will go to Vrindavan and I will take the jewels from that boy and I will become a millionaire. He was thinking like that. So he's walking all across India to Vrindavan, getting very excited about finding that little boy with all the jewels. Finally he goes to Vrindavan, he's wandering here and there, Kamyavan, Govardhan, wandering here for many days, wandering. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And finally, even though his heart was full of lusty, greedy desires, Krishna manifested to this rascal. And sure enough, he said, oh, Krishna, you have so many valuable jewels, can you give me some? And Krishna, in the mood of being the chastised son of Mother Yashoda, says, no. Mother Yashoda, she will scold me. But the thief, he became purified with that darshan of Krishna. Completely purified of all his material desires. Just seeing Krishna, he forgot all his material desires. Then Krishna said, yes, now you can take. So, actually, that is the position. If you become free of all desires, then all your desires are fulfilled. As long as we have a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, we will suffer in that condition. But if your only desire is to please Krishna, with your every thought, your every word, your every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, if that's your only desire, then Krishna will fulfill all your desires, you see. So just consider, what's a better position? To have unfulfilled desires, to be frustrated by unfulfilled desires, or to be able to have every desire fulfilled immediately? What's a better position to be in? Obviously, to have every desire fulfilled. So, if you simply desire to please Krishna, then your desires can be fulfilled at every minute. So why be frustrated desiring something besides pleasing Krishna? This is intelligence, you see. Human life is meant for intelligence. It's not meant for foolishness. We are meant to be intelligent as human beings. So one should intelligently analyze, if my only desire is to please Krishna, then I can have my desires fulfilled at every minute and feel total peace and total satisfaction within my heart, you see. But if I want to enjoy separately, it's just sometimes I'll get, sometimes I won't get by my karma. So then the obvious question for us struggling neophytes then is this. Here I am in this position, I have all these material desires and I'm frustrated by them. Now how can I get from this position of having all these material desires to having only one desire, and that's to please Krishna? How do I bridge that tremendous gap? They talk about information gap. This is called the consciousness gap. You see, how can I bridge that humongous gap between my present consciousness of material consciousness and the pure state of Shuddha Prem, pure devotional service? That's the challenge we all face as struggling neophyte devotees, is how to cross that vast gap between motivated devotional service and unmotivated devotional service. You see? Bhagavatam clearly states, Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma supasidati. It is only when your devotional service is ahaitaki, uninterrupted, ahaitaki without material motives, apratiyata, and without any interruption, that you can actually be satisfied. So, there's one very simple answer, how to get from the impure state to the pure state. You got to beg. You have to beg for it. That's all. Be a beggar. And how do we beg? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You just got to keep begging and begging and begging and begging and begging until you finally get your desire fulfilled, to become free of all desires except to serve Krishna. But we're not so inclined to beg so much. We're pretty proud characters. We're not so inclined to go begging so much. Therefore, we're instructed, you must beg at least 16 rounds every day. Every day you must beg this much for pure bhakti. At least 16 rounds of begging every day. So we say, okay, here I'm in a diseased state, and the doctor says, take this medicine. I'm going to take 1,728 pills every day. 16 times 108 is 1,728, and each mantra is like another pill I have to swallow, you see. Every day I have to take, doctor said, every day you must take at least 1,728 pills. That's how sick we are, you see. Can you imagine a patient has to take 1,728 pills every day? That's how sick we are. We are sick. We are very, very sick, you see. But if you actually, the thing is, the cure works. The process actually works. If you will take the, have faith in the doctor that he knows what he, Dr. Prabhupada. You see. If you have faith, actually Prabhupada was a pharmacist before he became, as a grihastha, he was a pharmacist. So he's still a pharmacist. This is the ISKCON pharmacy, dispensing the medicine of Harinam, you see. Everyone come to the pharmacy and here's your prescription. 16 rounds at least. Prescription daily. So you do your, take your 1,728 mantra pills every day. And you avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. And lo and behold, what happens is that tendency to want to enjoy separately from Krishna, it gradually goes away. Not all of a sudden, but it gradually does go away. If you go to watch the sunrise in the morning, is it all of a sudden, in 1 second, it goes from night to day? No, it's a gradual thing. Slowly, slowly, slowly. It becomes a little brighter, a little brighter. I was out there a few minutes in the courtyard. I couldn't see the sun, but I saw the brightness of the sun starting to manifest on the eastern horizon of Melbourne. But I didn't see the sun glow, you see. So in the beginning, you don't actually see Krishna. But you see the influence of Krishna in your life, you see. You begin to experience the influence of Krishna. And when the sun globe actually becomes visible, that's when you see Krishna, you see. But you experience Krishna even before seeing him. His influence is there. Krishna overtakes your heart. He fills you with light. He fills you with love. He fills you with joy. He fills you with knowledge. He gives you strength. You see. You begin to experience that as you keep taking these 1,728 daily pills. You see. So, really, we just have to be dutiful. We just have to follow the spiritual master's instructions. That's all we really have to do. The spiritual master has the medicine. He has the methodology to cure us from our diseased state. Now we simply have to follow his instructions, and that day will come. We'll be back in Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna and Radharani and the gopis and the gopas and the cows and the calves and the peacocks and the cuckoos and the Jamuna and the Kalpa Vriksha trees and Govardhan. It'll all be there and we'll all be back together in Goloka. And we can remember, yeah, we were here in Melbourne struggling. But now, by Prabhupada's mercy and Gurudev's mercy, we're all here back in the spiritual world together, you see. That day will come, you see. So you just have to have faith in the process. The whole thing begins with faith. I have trust. So how can you put your faith in it? I mean, you haven't seen Krishna yet, have you? So how are you putting your faith in this process? How do you know it's not hype, one could ask. It's a nice example given to this connection. You're driving to some town, you didn't bring your smartphone or your GPS with you. You're just going the old-fashioned way, trying to find an address in the city. And you don't really know where it is, but you just pull over, you know where such and such address is, you ask some people on the street, they look reliable, you're not really sure they know what they're talking about, but two or three people actually gave you the same direction, so you put your faith in it, and you drive that way, down that street, on a left turn on this street, a right turn on that street. You follow the directions, and then you ask someone else, and they say, oh yes, it's just up here, around the corner. So as you go each leg of the journey, and you ask other people, and it's being reconfirmed at every step. You see, you haven't achieved the destination yet, but yet you've gotten what appears to be reliable information, and it's reconfirmed again. It's reconfirmed again. So that's how we have faith in Krishna consciousness. We haven't seen Krishna yet, but the whole philosophy makes a lot of sense. And then you actually start the process, and then it's confirmed by this, it's confirmed by that. So just like that person, you know, finally, even though he hasn't gotten to his friend's house yet, he knows it's going to be up the street, because every person, every direction he got was reconfirming it and became more confirmed and more confirmed at each step of the journey. So in this way, you see, we understood, yes, I'm going to wake up and be with Krishna any minute. You see, it's a fact. That day will come when you actually, Krishna will become fully manifest to you. Premanjana charita bhakti valo chanena santaksadaiva hidayesha valo kayanti yangshama shundaram chantyagana svarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So this process works, as my book is titled, Truth Works. So you know this process is true, because when you practice it, it actually works. You feel the results, you experience the results. And as you go deeper into the process, it becomes even more experienced. You experience more light, more knowledge, more love, you see. It increases. In other words, it works, the more you practice it, the better it works. It works okay in the beginning and you have faith, but as you begin to practice it, it gets better and better and better. So we have some questions here. A whole stack of questions, actually. Let's try to go through them. What happens if we have unfulfilled spiritual desires, like going to the Holy Dham and doing some service? Well, you're already in the Holy Dham, Prabhu. Here's Radha and Krishna. This is Vrindavan. Here's Gaurinathai. You're in Mayapur. You're already in the Holy Dham. Your desire is already fulfilled. You're already in the Holy Dham. You're already here. You want to serve in the Holy Dham? You're already here in the Holy Dham serving. You just have to have the proper vision. Why should we read Bhagavatam daily? Because we need the medicine. It's part of the medicine. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You should regularly hear the Bhagavatam and serve the person who is and serve that person Bhagavatam. Become the disciple of the person Bhagavatam, the spiritual master. How to please Krishna very much. A child has written this. That's very nice. Your desire, you're asking this question, is already pleasing Krishna very much. So keep in this mood, always in this mood, how can I please Krishna very much? And from within your heart, Krishna will guide you how to please Him. Yes? The spiritual master also is there. Vaishnavas are also there. Your parents are also there. Your parents are devotees, apparently. And so you try to please your parents. Your parents are devotees, so you try to please them. Try to accept the spiritual master. Try to please your spiritual master. These are representatives of Krishna. So the more you can please the representatives of Krishna, the more Krishna will be pleased. In fact, Krishna says, unless you're the devotee of my devotee, you are not my devotee. So try to become the devotee of the devotees of Krishna. That gives Krishna even more pleasure than if you try to please him directly. Try to make his devotees happy, you see. That's how you give the greatest pleasure and happiness to Krishna. What can I do in action to make myself humble and also be compassionate to all living beings? Obeisances, obeisances, obeisances. Preaching, preaching, preaching. Humble, obeisances to the devotees and to the non-devotees. Preaching, 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 preaching. What is the solution if someone by mistake forgot to complete his 16 rounds in a day? Srila Prabhupada explains, the japa can be made up the following day, if necessary. If today you only chanted 15, you forgot to that last bead got forgotten, that last round got forgotten, then tomorrow you chant 17 at least. What is the difference between reading Prabhupada's books and doing practical services? There's actually no difference. In one sense, but because it's all part of the same course. Just like if you're studying chemistry, and part of the course you're sitting in the lecture hall hearing from the professor about the chemicals, and another part of the course you're in the laboratory actually mixing the chemicals that he talked about in the lecture. So both of them are equally a part of the course, and both of them are important. If you don't go to the lecture, you'll cause an explosion in the lab. And if you just go to the lecture and you don't go to the lab, then you won't know have any practical knowledge of chemistry. So you have to do both things. You have to hear the Bhagavatam, that's the lecture section of the course. Then you have to go to the laboratory, that's practical service, whether it's sweeping the floor, managing a temple, cooking an offering, offering arti, or going on Harinam. This is the practice, or making a Krishna conscious household for your family. These are the practices. This is the laboratory of devotional service. So the laboratory is not just working, 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 but it's also another way of studying. Prabhupada said we should constantly be studying 24 hours a day. So you hear the lecture and then you do the service, but while you're doing the service, you have a vision of seeing what can I learn as I'm doing this service. You learn from the services while you're doing them. Am I doing this in the proper mood? Am I doing it in the most first-class way? You're constantly analyzing yourself. So in this way, it's all part of the training course, the service and the lectures. My family belongs to a different Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Sri Sampradaya. They do not offer cooked food to Krishna. How can I convince them? Well, you make the offering if they don't do it. And if they don't offer to Krishna, don't eat it. Simple. Why does Krishna send us to hell, but he knows that we are caught by them? Krishna doesn't send anyone to hell. We send ourselves to hell by our desire to have hellish enjoyments. This material world is hell. Krishna didn't want to send us to here. We were demanding that we could have such a place where we think that we're the Lord. Hell is a place where you think that you're the Lord. It's a hellish nightmare because we intensely desired it. Krishna says, okay, if you really want it, okay, go ahead and try it. When you realize it's not a good thing, then you can come back to me. In one lecture, first you mentioned if you want material desires to be fulfilled, then Krishna consciousness is not the correct place for you. But then you said that Srimad Bhagavatam says that kama sarva kama va, whatever you desire, ask from Krishna. So they're wondering if this seems contradictory. Well, in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he came with his material. He approached, and the thief, they both approached Krishna with the material desires and became purified by approaching Krishna. And they realized these material desires are ridiculous. So, therefore, if someone has a material desire, they can't understand that it's better not to have such material desires and only better to desire serving Krishna, then for that person we encourage them, you see. At least, for any reason, go to the temple, you see. Any reason, go to the temple. For any reason, take prasadam. For any reason, come to the arti. Whatever your reason is, just come. And by coming, you'll become purified, yes.
We should be prepared to do austerities like Dhruva Maharaj and that thief. Then we can have a lot of material desires to be fulfilled.
Yes.
Otherwise,
we want it very cheaply, yeah. Dhruva went get all kinds of penances and austerities. He actually stopped breathing at a certain point. He gave up drinking water. He gave up eating. He even stopped breathing. So if you're willing to do such austerities, maybe you'll get your material desires fulfilled.
Otherwise, give up.
How to fulfill all duties, work, etc. in this material world when you feel you don't belong anywhere and yet you wish to serve Krishna alone and dedicate purely the love to Krishna? Well, the fact is you don't belong in this material world. You belong on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. So if you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and follow his instructions according to your ashram as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi, then you will be properly situated. When chanting, is it all right to look at a picture of Radha and Krishna? Yes, but keep your focus on the name. I remember when I was in Los Angeles back in 1971, Prabhupada was there, and I was walking on the side of the building, and someone came up and said, somebody came up and told me that Prabhupada would just chastise a devotee for staring at a picture while he was chanting his rounds. I was kind of surprised by that, but I understood. You know, if you're like this, you're going, you know, your beads are over here, you know, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You see, if your prime focus is the picture and the holy name is more or less just in the background somewhere out there, that's not good. But if you're focused on the holy name and you also look at a picture, that's okay. The prime focus has to be in the sound vibration. That's the point. What is your favorite verse in the Gita? Well, that's a hard question to answer, but I was just chanting one coming down the stairs this morning on the way to Bhagavatam class. So maybe that's my favorite one right now. Apuryamanam machala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamakam pravishanti sarve shishantam adnoti nakamakami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean which is ever being filled but always remain still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. 270. That's my favorite one right now. Now, next 20 minutes, there may be another, probably another favorite one. They're all favorites. Okay, how did Krishna get his name? Who named him? Actually, Krishna has unlimited names. But the word Krishna is Krishna's prime name because it best describes him. Every aspect of Krishna is a facet on a, just imagine a diamond with unlimited facets. You see, millions and trillions and quadrillions of facets. So each facet has a certain name: Gopal, Govinda, Shyamasundar, Rishikesha, etc. Even Allah, it's Jehovah, etc. But if there's one name, actually Prabhupada said, actually Krishna has no name. God has no name, but if there's only one name, that name is Krishna, you see. Because the name Krishna means the all-attractive one. Each facet of that infinitely faceted diamond is an attractive feature, you see. Each facet is attractive. But all-attractive refers to all the facets combined. So therefore the name Krishna includes all the other names of God within him. You see, whether it's Allah, Jehovah, Gopal, Govinda, Shyamasundar, they're all included within these two syllables, Krishna. Is Binda Sarovara still exist? They probably want to go take a bath there. I don't know. I am a student and always under the pressure of studies or job. How will this bhakti help me in my life? By understanding what's the purpose of studies and job. If you're doing them for their own sake, you will always be in anxiety. But if you offer the result to Krishna from your studies and your job, there will be no more anxieties. We don't know what is going to happen after death. Then why to worry? Might as well just enjoy your life, and whatever happens in the future doesn't matter. Wow. Well, actually, we do know what's going to... You may think you don't know what's going to... Actually, you may not know what's going to happen after your death, but I know what's going to happen after your death. If you don't live a... If you live a life of sense gratification, you're going to enter into suffering condition in your next life according to your karma. So, I know what's going to happen, and I'm warning you. If you want to be in a suffering condition, then just go on serving your senses. If you want to have an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge, then you take up this pathway of Krishna consciousness. You, it's your choice: suffer or enjoyment. Do you want unlimited? You want more and more suffering, birth after birth after birth. Sometimes a human being, sometimes a tree standing out in the cold winter with no heat. Do you want to be a tree standing in the winter with no heat? I guarantee you, if you don't take up this process of Krishna consciousness, you're going to be still rotating in the 8,400,000 species for millions and billions of lifetimes. Are you ready to be a snake? Are you ready to be an orangutan? Are you ready, to be a germ? To be a worm in stool? Are you ready for all that? Well, that's where you're heading, sir, if you don't take this pathway. So it's your choice. Chanting is not clearing my consciousness. It is. You're not experiencing it because you're committing too many nama parads. That is the difficulty. So study the 10 offenses against the holy name and diligently try to avoid them. And then your consciousness is being cleared, but not much. That's why you don't feel it. But if you stringently avoid the 10 offenses, you will feel how your consciousness is being clarified. Also, why 16 rounds minimum? What is the scriptural reference? Satatam kirtayanto mam. Krishna says, you're actually supposed to chant 24 hours a day. So Prabhupada is very kind. He's told us that you'll be considered a devotee of Krishna even if you only chant at least 16 rounds every day. But actually you're supposed to chant non-stop 24 hours a day to be a devotee. But that's the mercy of the spiritual master, that he's given us 16 rounds. You can still be considered a devotee, only chanting 16 rounds a day. Prabhupada says 16 rounds is nothing. There are people in India who chant 120 rounds every day. 16 rounds is nothing. As devotees, we try to live a reasonable life, but how does one protect oneself from relatives who are envious of our material position and trying to victimize us continuously? Lord Chaitanya therefore says, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. No, what is, no, that's the wrong verse. He says, Asatanga Tyag. Yeah, that's the right verse. Asatanga Tyag. Give up the association of non devotees. And you can give them Krishna. Then that association is very nice. It's like my brother. He's a very nice man. He's a pious Christian. And I like him. He likes me. We're like friends, you know, my little brother. So he got a new house. He moved outside of Austin, got a house out in the hill country. And he invited me to come out to see his new house. I said, yeah, we'll come and do a kirtan there. He said, no. Can we use something a little more peaceful? So I didn't go. If he's willing to have a kirtan, yes, well, I'll come out there, check out his new house, his ranch out there in the Texas hill country. But check, sure, come out and do a kirtan. Love to come, Bob. Sure. But he doesn't want a kirtan, so I'm not going. Simple then. So that's how you can deal with your relatives. If they like you with your Krishna consciousness, then it's cool. If they don't want your Krishna consciousness, then, well, I'm busy right now. That's the easy way to deal with it. Can you please help to explain a little why Balaram displays affection towards Duryodhana? I don't really know. I can't say. You have to ask Balaram. Which is more important, the service in the temple or doing your house duty? The temple is more important. Because in the temple you realize I'm the servant of Krishna. In the home you may think I'm the master. I'm the Lord and master. So the temple is more important. But both of them have to be there. But the temple is more important. How did Radharani go to the spiritual world? Radharani is always living in this. She never left. She's eternally living in the spiritual world. She never leaves the spiritual world. I am a new devotee and also quite young. I have my desires to fulfill, but I also enjoy the bhakti process and want to do this as well. What do you suggest? Give up all your material desires and just have one desire only, to serve Krishna. And then when you do that, all your desires will be fulfilled. Right? I guarantee you, if you try to mix it, you're going to be frustrated. But you just say, from now on, simply whatever Krishna wants. This is what Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord Jesus is our Siksha Guru. He's teaching us what is pure bhakti. Not what I want, but what you want. Take that mood, believe me, and you'll be the happiest person. Why are you embracing frustration? Doesn't make any sense. Can we write poems to glorify Krishna in our own words? Yes. But just make sure they're based on the philosophy. I remember Parashara Das, he wrote a little song, a poem, you know, with a tune, and it was completely bogus. There's a song there's something called Little Boy Blue, you know, in English literature. So he wrote a song, he called Krishna Little Boy Blue. He said, Little Boy Blue, come tootle your flute, come tootle your flute, come play us a tune. It was so horrible poetry. He's asking Krishna to come and entertain him. I mean, it's horrible. So don't write such poetry. He thought it was really cool, called Little Boy Blue, you know. Little Boy Blue, come tootle your flute, come tootle your flute, come play us a tune. It's a horrible thing. How you can? It's offensive, actually. Krishna, come dance for me. Come entertain me with your flute. Horrible thing, you see. But so one should write poetry according to the scriptures. Prabhupada told me, yes, you can write poems. So we can write. Prabhupada personally told me I can write poems. So one can write poems, but you should just see that it's in accordance with the teachings, and then it's very wonderful. Somebody like the Vyas Puja homages, many disciples that write poetry for their spiritual master. It's very nice. I remember one poetry written by Hayagriva Prabhu. It attracted me to join this movement. A big, long poetry about Prabhupada. And it was published in Bhaktivedanta magazine. Many, many pages. A humongous poem. So these are poetry is very nice. And actually, that quality of poet is there within everyone's heart. And as soon as you awaken your Krishna consciousness, you automatically become a poet. You're a poet, whether or not you know it. You see? You just have to awaken your Krishna consciousness, and then Krishna will bless you with the ability to poetically glorify Him with choice language. How important it is to listen to one's spiritual master's lectures. It's absolutely essential. What do Hare and Rama stand for in the Mahamantra? Hare addresses Mother Hara or Radharani, and Rama and Ram address Krishna actually, and as the supreme enjoyer. Can also refer to Lord Ramachandra, to Parasaram and to Balaram, but it especially refers to Krishna as the supreme enjoyer. What is the benefit of wearing a dhoti in spiritual life? It helps you to remember that you're not your body and that you're the eternal servant of Krishna. It helps you get out of trying to be a, cool dude or whatever people are thinking nowadays. And they walk down the street. Helps you to be more Krishna conscious. Prabhupada encouraged us. Actually, one reporter asked in the airport, a famous tape, you can hear the recording, amazing press conference. It's really, really amazing. Because there's a huge, like 300 devotees there, and they're all cheering for Prabhupada's answers. It's amazing recording. You got to hear this. If you haven't heard it, you should send me an email. I'll send you I can email it to you or something like that. But it's amazing, amazing press conference. The reporter said, Swamiji, why do you ask your followers to dress in such a strange fashion and play drums in the streets? Prabhupada said, so they will know that we are Hare Krishna people.
attract your attention.
Yeah. And so you will know that we were Hare Krishna people. It's a wonderful interview. In what mood should we worship Radha Krishna at temple during the aartis? I am your servant. I am your servant. Okay, it looks like the question well has run dry. And it's now 8:30, so we can stop here. And we thank you all very, very much for coming to Bhagavatam class today. Please take these words of wisdom. They're not my words. This is knowledge coming from Prabhupada and the Acharyas. I'm just the messenger boy here. Please take these teachings very seriously. Embrace pure devotional service as your only desire from here on out at every minute. And I guarantee you, all your desires will be fulfilled. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Come for the Mahaprasadam, y'all.